perfect example people want to make. Oh, it's about race. Certain people. It's not about race. And there's clear evidence. A perfect example where we used the Maori and the Maori in New Zealand, where there was a society that was separated by, they just happened to hop over to one island further, the society that had zero violence to the society that was extremely violent and then came over and took over that community. So it was just cultural norms that split the two between those two things, those two societies. On the one, almost 100% all opposite sides of the spectrum. So culture has a huge effect on how societies engage in violence. So that's an important point. Second point that I kind of want to make, and he kind of made the, in the end, he made the point too about how applying law unequally to black youth has effect on, they have to find their own law and their own honor-based societies. So that's one part of it, because they have to rely on their culture to do that. And, but you could also see inequality, how does that affect violence rates throughout history? Like I said, pre-agricultural societies, 2% base rate. You see agricultural societies, people come together, there's classes, there's inequality, there's unequal enforcement of laws. You see a massive bump up in violence in those societies. But it's not always just the case. There's in pre-agricultural societies, like I said, the average is low, but the variability is extremely high. So there are certain societies in pre-agricultural, rare, that had extremely high violence rates, like 65% of the people dying due to violent deaths. So, and like I said, I don't have data on, I could speculate that's the societies that were constrained by geography, maybe that were in ambush-prone areas like the highlands. But there's no good data to back that up, as far as I know. So it's pure speculation. But you can see those breakouts. So inequality is a major chunk of that. So we have to pay attention to it. So the decline of violence has come from centralized control. It comes from trustworthy of institutions that people buy into that are just and fair, and where trust and inequality are lacking. Even a powerful state can't prevent violence. They could probably tamp down if they're violent enough. But you could see, like in medieval Europe, I mean, if you steal like a couple loaves of bread, you're dead. They kill you. So in medieval societies, violence was completely out of control compared to the modern day. So it's not necessarily the level or how hard you clamp down. It's the equality, and violence often begets violence. So if there's violence in the law system, it often gets kind of transmitted to society and overall. So anyway, so the other point that I want to make, so during this violence series and throughout the radio series I've done, you can see all authoritarianism comes up over and over and over and over and over again in the materials that we covered in the show. I mean, it is a core factor in the rise of violence in a lot of cases, you can see. It's also a dividing line between like healthy social groups and cults. It was like the dividing line. You were trying to draw the line and be like, okay, what makes a cult and what makes just a social group? And usually it's having an authoritarian leader in the cult that's driving people to do certain things. That's where you could probably, if you want to, make the dividing line of where you could say, like, what's a cult and what's not a cult? Authoritarian leader. So the core argument against violence is beyond a moral one. To make the argument against violence, because there is a strain of thought out there, unbelievably or not, which is probably a bit of Nietzsche, which we haven't covered, some YouTuber kind of beat me to it. I was like, oh, I should cover Nietzsche. That's an interesting idea. And PhilosophyTube, I think, beat me to it. So anyway, I might cover it later. But there's a strain of thought. I'd be like, oh, violence is good. It's good for society. Oh, it does all these things. So I think the core argument against violence is beyond just the moral ones. Well, it's bad. It shrinks the pie and the type of pies that can exist. Violence forces all societies around to mirror its structures. It shrinks the diversity of ways of living, reducing flexibility, resiliency, and creativity. I think humanity's greatest strength, or our cheat code for surviving the world, has always been our adaptability, our ability to change, to innovate, to meet new pressures in new ways. And violence hijacks that drive. It demands a single response, force with force. But to suppress violence, to build up systems of trust, fairness, and shared norms, gives us back our full range of motion. It restores flexibility that we need to meet other challenges in the world that the world throws at us. And I don't have to name these challenges. There are too many to list, really. So in a way, peace isn't just the absence of war. It's the presence of options. And you could see that in pre-agricultural societies. And that's what brought our success. It's really have the flexibility to do these things. And that's why you see, not just in game theory, like why cooperation is so important. You see this in evolutionary biology. You see where societies that cooperate are highly more successful than ones that don't. And in humans in particular, we're very unique in how social we are and how cooperative we are, because it increases our adaptability. And we're kind of be covering this maybe a little more in detail about innovation and how societies are set up and that encourages innovation. And you can see places where innovation is the highest and adaptability is the highest in certain societies. That kind of backs up this point. So we're probably covering, I think we'll cover that kind of point next week. It is 10:08 here. We're all past the time for the public service announcement. But we'll play you one anyway. That's it for the show. Hopefully you did enjoy. I think this pretty much wraps up the series on violence. We might dip our toe back in if I see some interesting stuff later on. We'll do that too. We'll also be covering Ludwig Wittgenstein, because I just finished his book, Philosophy Investigations. Philosophical Investigations, sorry. And probably see if we get some guests to maybe talk about it. We're hunting around for that. I mentioned the book pretty much for the first 6 months of me doing the show every week, at least 20 times. So it's an important book. And it's kind of a core base thesis to being able to build an idea of moral thought. So anyway, it's very interesting. And just knowing how language works. It also ties in with AI. How does AI work? Wittgenstein kind of makes the points. It's so relevant. And he's definitely one of the most influential philosophers of this age, or the 21st century, and for good reason. Because I think a lot of his ideas are fairly relevant, not just hoi polloi ideas, but have real relevance in how societies work and how people think, how language works. It's very relevant to the world in general. Understanding it, I think, is important to give you a better understanding of the world. So anyway, I think that is it. Let's play you some music. I'll play you public service announcement, and then I might play a few tracks, and I'm up out of here. Happy 4th of July, guy gals, and hope you're having a good time out there. We'll be right back. Oh, and also, I didn't shout out the radio show email, Radio Lyceum, all one word, at protonmail.com. If you want to contact me that way as well. It's the best way to contact me if I'm not on air. And you just listen to the show and be like, oh, I should want to talk to him or have comments or whatever you want to. Reach out to Proton, that email address, Radio Lyceum at protonmail.com. See you guys next week.
With vape prices soaring higher than ever, cigarettes may seem like a cheaper, more convenient alternative to those who crave nicotine. But smoking even just one cigarette a day can greatly increase your risk of dying from heart disease or lung cancer. According to Altmetric, women's risk of death by smoking is even higher than men's. Cigarettes can kill, and the butts we leave behind harm you and the earth. The DJs here at WRUV want you to be happy and healthy. So please, put the pack down. And don't smoke. This has been a message from 90.1 WRUV FM Burlington.
Darkness. You know what I'm saying? From what was insubstantial is now substantial because of that spark, you know? And when you allow yourself to experience the spark, life takes on a whole new meaning. You see things in different colors. You know, it's as if you're watching a regular color television and then all of a sudden it's high definition. And as you journey on this feeling that you have from the spark, you know, this energy, as you follow it and attempt to come into the fullness of it, you discover yourself.
Thank you. Thank you.
WRUV-FM Burlington.
Does your abdomen extend? Your chest? Hold that breath for 4 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now let it out and follow that breath out of your lungs until it's completely gone. Now breathe normally. That act of breathing deeply, of paying attention to your breath and your body as you do, that was an exercise in mindfulness meditation. Mindfulness is a practice that has been known to help with anxiety, depression, even PTSD. In 2012, a Harvard study discovered that subjects who had meditated in the past, as you just did, experienced changes in brain activity, specifically decreased activity in the amygdala, the part of the brain that experiences and regulates emotion, including your stress response, that is sustained even when they're not meditating. In other words, meditating mindfully for just a couple minutes a day could help you to feel way better in the long term. So, give mindfulness meditation a try and see if it works for you. This message has been brought to you by your mega mindful DJs here at WRUV Burlington.
Oh.